This morning, it will probably be very familiar reading, Jeremiah and the 18th chapter. Jeremiah and the 18th chapter. This thought came to me this week as we were leaving out for Virginia on Tuesday morning. We was going down the road, and one of my favorite songs that I have on my cell phone, my iPad part of my cell phone, is Keep Making Me by Sidewalk Prophets. And they're a contemporary Christian group. And I don't listen to a lot of that music. I love the old quartet gospel stuff. That is my type of music. But this song, the first time that I ever heard it, I struck a chord with me. And as I was going down the road, I think we were between Hartsville and from Westmoreland and Hartsville, and we were going up the ridge there, and I was behind this truck, and I had my mind on driving, and I had my mind on, Lord, what am I going to preach Sunday? And I've got millions of things on my mind, and this song came on, and it was like all at once the Lord just kind of showed me, you remember how I've made you all of these times? You remember how all of these times that I've helped you and I've been with you and I've always been there for you? And do you remember that I'm the one that formed you, and I'm the one that's keeping you, and I'm the one that's going to help you in anything that you go through? And that song went on, and one of the verses in it, it says, Lord, keep making me, keep breaking me so I can be made of you again. And I'm thankful that sometimes God has to break me so He can make me anew. I want to read the first few verses of this chapter, Jeremiah in the 18th chapter. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. If I could take just a general part of this for a lesson text, it would be, behold, in the sixth verse it says, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. If I could title this this morning, it would be, In the Potter's Hands. And I thought about these verses of Scripture, and I thought about what Jeremiah had seen or he had heard here from the Lord. And if we know anything about pottery, and I don't really, I know what little I do is what I've seen and have been around what little that I have. And most of us know here in Nashville and over in the Smoky Mountains area, there's this place that's called Old Time Pottery. And as you go over there into the arts and crafts community, you can go around and you can watch people actually make pottery. You can see them take it from the big lump of clay. You can see it laid out on the wheels, and it talks about that here in these scriptures. And you can see them take something that looks like nothing and make something out of it. And I'm so glad this morning that God can take nothing and make something out of it. You just look at me this morning and you can tell that God took nothing and He made something. And for that I am so thankful. I thought about what Jeremiah must have thought when he said, go down to the potter's house. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe that we're in the potter's house. I believe that where we are this morning is a place that God is proud of. I believe every time that we come to this place that God is molding us and He is making us. But He said, go down out of the potter's house. And Jeremiah, no doubt, must have had this thought upon his heart, Lord, what do you want me to go down there for? What must I go there for? And as he went down there, I guess, maybe he walked into the potter's store, the potter's house, and he looked around and he saw the potter sitting there. And maybe he had this big lump of clay, and as it's moved around on the wheels, as it's sitting there on his table, and he's beginning to form it, I can just imagine what this lump of clay must have looked like. It said it was marred, which means it had a problem with it. There was something disfigured about this clay that the potter wasn't happy with. And I thought about in my life, how many times have I become marred pottery? You might think, preacher, that sounds a little crazy this morning. That sounds a little off topic, but I want you to know something. That our lives as Christian people, as God's people, we are never ever going to stop growing. We're never ever going to stop changing because because God always is molding us to be what He wants us to be. You know, when I was a little boy, I was pretty sure I never had in my thought process that I would ever pastor a church. In my mind, I never thought that I would be a preacher. I thought that there was something else that I would do. I had no idea. You know, people today, oh, they will do everything. They will find this job or that job or find this thing that they're good at or that thing that they're good at. Oh, and the world puts a big emphasis on it. And they'll try to do anything that they can to make sure that they attain that goal. And they'll do everything that they can to make sure that whatever goal they want to attain is the path that they go to get there. Well, I can assure you this morning that the path that I started out on was not to be a pastor of a church in Nashville, Tennessee. But the moment that God saved my soul, I began to be clay in His hands. And I'm going to say today that every single one of us that has ever been saved by the grace of God, we have a job to do. All of us have a specific purpose. Now, maybe this pottery that Jeremiah saw, maybe it was a bowl that someone was supposed to eat out of. Well, you can't have a bowl that doesn't have a bottom in it. You could, but it wouldn't work too well. You could have a bowl, and if we're going to put some liquid in there, and the sides weren't built up enough, it would all run out, so it had to be perfect so that they could use it for its intended purposes. None of us want a broken vase to set around our house. If we have anything, if we have that pottery, oh, surely we want the best that can be. We don't want something that's broken. The world today looks at things and they say, oh, can have broken things. But I'm going to tell every single one of us, we're all broken before we get saved. Every single one of us are as broken as we can be. But when God gets a hold of us, He can make us something. I know this morning that I'm nothing. I know that. I can look around and you can look at me and you can say, you're nothing. I know that. But with God, I'm somebody. You know, there's people today. Oh, there's great people. Oh, there's wonderful people that are doing great things that think that they are somebody, but without God, we are nothing. Because we're just clay in the potter's hands. Now, there are two trains of thought that we could go with this this morning. We can say that this smart pottery might be somebody that's lost. You can think that. You can go with that ideology if you want to. Because when God saves us, He makes our soul perfect. We live in a world that's all kinds of messed up. We live in a world where things that are supposed to be right are wrong, and the things that are wrong, they are now right. So you can just imagine how things like this thought would have come in his mind about this marred pottery. When you think about what he must have seen, and I want to read some more of it. When you think about what he must have seen, and what I've seen when I've seen them make the pottery, it was made with special care. I've never seen a person that was making something out of clay or whatever medium that they were going to use, and they thought that they might sell it. I've never seen anybody that did that and did a terrible job at it and did very well at what he was doing. You know, if we set out to do something, we want it to be the best that it can be. And this potter, no doubt, as he was making this clay, he wanted it to be the best. He wanted it to look good. He wanted it to be for its purpose. And when he saw that it wasn't, he fashioned it again. I want to read that to you, if the Lord will be our helper. The fourth verse. And it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, which means he'd messed it up. It had been messed up in the potter's hand, so he made it again, another vessel. And if you've ever seen them do this, you see that they can bring it up as big as they want to, and all of a sudden they can bring it down to almost nothing again. Sometimes in our lives, God takes us up, and sometimes He brings us crashing down. But you know, it's for a purpose. Because maybe we got marred. And I want to make this mention very plainly this morning. That I do not believe there is a one person that has ever been saved by the grace of God that has ever lost their salvation. Because if you lost it, you did not have it to begin with. This verse of Scripture is not talking about somebody that's lost their salvation. I believe it's talking about our lives and repenting toward the Lord and getting things straightened out. And getting our lives in such a a shape that the Master can use us if the Lord will be our helper. We're going to use some verses of Scripture in a few moments of time that will back that up. It says in the potter, it seemed good to the potter to make it. Well, he saw that it had been messed up. He saw that there was a problem with it, so he wanted to make it again. It seemed good that he would redo it in our lives. And the main theme of this message this morning might be restoration. It might be bring us back to a state where we can be used by you, Lord. I thought about this year. Oh, years have seemed like they're such long times, but in the shortest time possible. You say, preacher, that doesn't make much sense. Now, on Friday, we're going to start a new year. At 11:59 on a Thursday night, we're going to go into a new year. Now, in my life, I used to think that a year was the longest thing that there ever was. I thought Christmas would never get here. And now that I've gotten older, you take the tree down and you got to put it right back up. Time is short. Life gets faster and faster and faster as you get older. I didn't believe them when they told me that when I was younger. I thought that those people were foolish. Surely time doesn't get any faster, but it does. But I thought about this last year, and I don't know all of your lives and everything that has happened this last year. But I know this for a fact. Every single one of us have taken our fair share of potholes and beatings and heartbreaks. And some of us have had good times and happy times. And there have been times of sadness. Maybe we've lost loved ones. Oh, but sometimes we need a restoration period. Sometimes we need to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to make me new. I need you to help me out and clean me up so I can be used for your good and your honor and your glory. I believe this morning that we as God's people, we need a restoration in our lives. We need a restoration in every aspect of our lives because to be used for the good and the honor and the glory of God, we've got to be perfect. And you say, preacher, you preached a few months ago that we could not be perfect. And I am in complete agreement to that. But we must strive every single day to strive for that perfection that God has. We learned in Sunday school this morning about growing in grace and in knowledge. I believe those of us that have been saved every part of our lives, we need to be growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's very important that those that have been saved are continuously growing. We talk about how many times when people get saved being babes in Christ and having to be on the milk. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, as a pastor, it's time that as God's people, we get on the strong meat of the things that God wants to tell us that He wants us to do so that lost people can be saved. I believe it's important that we do those things. I believe it's important, if you've been saved, to continually grow in your relationship with the Lord. You may say, preacher, you are just a young one, so surely to goodness you haven't grown that much. And maybe I haven't, but I strive every day for the Lord to continue to help me so that I can grow, so that I can better serve Him, because I'm just in the potter's hands. You know, I thought about, so I was going up that ridge, and I just had the accident the night before. And I thought about, Lord, have mercy. If one of them cars, it was a big tractor trailer and had cars on the back of the hauler. And I think Mom maybe even said, you better not get too close. What if one of those things comes flying off of there? And I thought, and this thought came to me, I'm just in His hands. Everything that I do, everything that you do, everything aspect of our lives is all in the Lord's hands. The life that you live, the life that I live, we're just in His hands. The day that God saved us, and I want to say this. The day that God saves us, maybe it was different for you. I hope it wasn't. But the day that God saved me, I thought that I had the ability to go and save the whole entire world. I wanted everybody to have what I had. I was so excited. You know, I let the devil cheat me out of that. And I didn't tell it. It took me a year to tell that I had been saved. I lost a lot of joy in that. I lost a lot of time that I maybe could have had to grow and keep doing things for the Lord. I lost a lot of time, and I'm going to tell you, as long as I live, I will continue to try to make up every lost time that I have had. And you may say, preacher, what was you trying to get out of saying, do you remember when the Lord saved your soul? Do you remember that joy that you had? You know, I believe in our lives a lot of times we lose joy. Oh, we do. Every single one of us. We lose the joy of so many things. You know, I was making the remark this year around Christmas. Christmas just didn't feel like Christmas used to. It just didn't feel the same. There almost wasn't the same joy that Christmas used to have. And that's because of me. Maybe my spirit wasn't in that place. But I'm going to tell you on a spiritual side of things, sometimes we can lose the joy of our salvation. I believe David did, and I talk about him a lot because the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. If David was a man after God's own heart, done some of the things that he did, bless his heart. Bless our hearts. David did a lot of things that you and I would cringe at, but it says he was a man after God's own heart. You know what David was? He was just a man. He was just the clay in the potter's hands. That's what you and I are. I thought about the creation of you and I, and I will try to come back here if the Lord will help us. If you want to turn with us in your Bibles, I believe it's the second chapter of the book of Genesis. The second chapter of the book of Genesis. And I have always thought about this and have wondered how he could take this and make it something. And you're probably going to know what I'm going to talk about. The seventh verse. And it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now I'm going to tell you this morning that you and I, as we sit here today, guess what we are? We're dust. We're dirt. You may say, preacher, that hurts. Don't call me dirt, but I'm going to tell you something. We are dirt. We're nothing to this world. Our bodies were made from the dust of the ground. We came out of nothing. You think about that this morning. We came out of nothing. We came out of the stuff that you and I walk on every single day. We're the stuff that you may sweep up at the end of the day. You're the stuff that ends up in the dustpan. At the end of the day, that's just dust that God formed us out of. But guess what? He loved that old dirt. Because it says he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. I'm going to tell you, before he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils, there was nothing there. It was just a big old pile of dirt. Big old pile of dirt and bones and whatever else is inside of us. That's all that it was. You know, if he'd have never breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, he would have never became a living being. It's important that we realize this morning that nothing we do matters because we are just dirt. But you know what? We're dirt that God loves. I told you last Sunday about a little baby that was born in Bethlehem. He was born for this sack of dirt and every pile of dirt that has ever been born. And you may say, preacher, that sounds very harsh. But you realize what clay is? We're just clay in the potter's hands. We are just his creation. We are everything that God has made us to be. You know, everything that God created, he created in the way that he wanted it to. And you may say, preacher, then why do we sin? Why do we have the things that we do? Because God gave man this little thing called free will. Now, sometimes we can do things we want to on our own. And you know what? A lot of times I feel like I do a lot of things on my own without him. Because I don't let the Lord be the potter and I'm the clay. Sometimes I try to be the potter and make him be the clay. And that never works. I don't know how many of you all have ever looked out into a pottery window or something and see the clay try to do something with the potter, but that don't work. I've never seen that, and I don't believe he ever will. But I'm so thankful that God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And what does it say? It says, "And man became a living soul." There was something inside of us that came up. There was something inside of us that mattered at that point. We became a living, breathing creature. Something that one day, because Adam would sin in the Garden of Eden someday, that you and I would need a Savior. You and I would need somebody to lead, guide, and direct our life. If you've ever listened to my prayers, and I don't pray so that people will listen to me, and you may say, preacher, maybe it's a vain repetition, and maybe it is, but I pray it from the depths of my heart that God will lead, guide, and direct my life. Brother brothers and sisters, if our prayer is not that God will lead, guide, and direct our life, we're doing it wrong. God must be the leader, He must be the guide, and He must direct every path that we take because we're in His hands. I was thinking this week, again, about the little song that the little kids sing from time to time. And you know, when I was growing up at church, we didn't sing the normal kid songs. They made us sing like Jesus is coming soon and He will pilot me. They put us out on the big songs. But as I listen around from time to time and I hear the little children singing, maybe in their Sunday school class, and they'll sing, He's got the whole world in His hands. And I think about little old me. He's got the whole world. In a sense, the Bible even says that He uses the world as His footstool. So you can only imagine how big that God is if He holds us in the palm of His hand. You can only imagine just how small in comparison to God we are. But you know, even as big as God is, as big as He is in comparison to this world, He is small enough to fit right in here because that's where He lives. I'm just clay in the potter's hands this morning. You're just clay in the potter's hands. And I don't mean to preach any of this to make you seem like you're not worth anything, because I'm going to tell every one of you this morning, you have worth. You have somebody who loves you. You have somebody that cares about you. If nobody else in this world does, God does. Jesus does, because He died for you. He died for this clay. He died for me and He died for you, and He'll die. He died for everyone that has been born or ever will be born. We have worth this morning. Don't ever let someone tell you that you're not worth anything, because I am a firm believer, especially if you've been saved by the grace of God, that you are worth something to Him. The Lord doesn't want to, and I'm going to say this, and it doesn't mean losing salvation. I've already told you I don't believe that. But the Lord doesn't want to lose one person in His army. You know, sometimes people will get saved and they'll get away from serving the Lord. They'll get away from following the Lord. And they'll do these things. And you know, they're not much help to society or other lost people when they do this. They're not much help when they're not living their lives for the Lord. We were talking about in Sunday school about people sometimes are surprised when you tell them that you've been saved or that you go to church. I never want to tell somebody, well, I'm the pastor of a church, and then to look at me with big eyes and say, oh, really? And you may say, preacher, you want people to think good of you? No, I don't want them to look at me and say, oh, good him. I want them to look at me and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done. Because every single person, it's just clay in the potter's hands. I want to read a few more verses of Scripture this morning. I'll try to close with these Scriptures if the Lord will be our helper. I believe they go right along with what the Lord has given us this morning. If you want to turn with us in your Bibles, it'd be 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. You know, there's a lot of things that we have in this life that we use as vessels. And what is a vessel? It's something that something can be held in, something can be used to hold something. And I thought about these verses of Scriptures at 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in the 20th verse. The 20th verse, 2 chapter, 20th verse. And you think about pottery. And in Jeremiah's time, they didn't have a Walmart where they could go down and get Cornell plates and bowls. They had to use what they had made. Somebody would make for them. It was something that would have been very precious to them. This pottery that they had would have been something that was probably almost invaluable to a family, because maybe they had family members or children or something to feed. And you know, when you fill it with something, you expect it to do its job. You expect a vessel to be something that that you fill with something, and it's something that'll hold water. We talk a lot about times about bowls and bottles and things. This can be used as a vessel. There's lots of things that can be used as vessels. And these verses of Scripture are going to try to talk about that if the Lord will be our helper. 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, and the 20th verse, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I thought about that in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. I thought about what kind of vessel would I be this morning? What kind of vessel would you be? Would I be something that would be meet for the Master's use? Would I be something that the Lord could use in His service? I'm going to venture to say this again, that every person that has ever been saved has a purpose in God's work. We all have something that God wants us to do, to be a part of, to be able to do so that His cause can be furthered, so it can be advanced, so more and more people can be saved to the cause that God has set before us. But I'm going to tell you, there are some things that the Lord just will not use. I've thought many times that there have been people that are saved and they've given good testimonies, and sometimes they're a vessel unto dishonor. Sometimes people that live their lives in an ungodly manner that say that they've been saved, the Lord is not going to use them to further His cause. I believe those of us that have been saved should strive to be those gold and those silver vessels so that God's glory and His honor is abounding to the farthest parts of this world. It's important. You know, thinking about this time of year, and I guess more so in the last couple months, we don't do it, but if you ever watch any Christmas movies, you'll see them do it. Around this time of the year, they'll go into their china cabinets and they'll pull out the best that they've got. They pull out the best bowls and the best plates and the best napkins, the best silverware that they've got. Oh, and all of their families getting there, and maybe the ladies are going around as everybody's getting their food, and they're making sure that somebody doesn't nick the corners and make sure that they crack something, or maybe somebody cuts their turkey a little too hard and scrapes the plate. They get a little upset when their best china has been hurt. The best thing that they've got, they've set out to use, and somebody's messed it up. Most of the time, it's pretty expensive stuff. I don't have any of my own and don't plan to if I can help it. But you know, there's some people that really enjoy that. They'll sit around for hours on end and they'll scrub it spotless. The silver, they'll make sure it's the best that it is. Oh, they'll make sure there's not a spot on it so that when their family sits down, they've got the best to use. And I thought about myself this week. If the Lord were to sit down at a table and He's going to use me for a vessel, what kind of vessel would it be? Would I be a china, a bowl? And I know that sounds very silly this morning, but would I be one of those, or would I just be an old Cool Whip bowl that's got the side dripped out of it? Would I be something that would be, and you know, I like my Cool Whip bowls to eat out of. They make a good a dish, but I'm going to tell you, the best that you can have, I believe, is the best that you should give the guest of honor. And I believe that God is the guest of honor in our lives. And I would hate for Him to come to my house and for me to serve that to Him. But if it's the best I've got, it's what I need to use. But I'm going to venture to say this morning, those of us that have been saved, we should be like this fine dinnerware. We should be like the finest vessel that the Lord can use. The Lord can have glory. And I'm going to tell you, He finds glory when He can use us for His honor. You know, I will say this. There's been many times in my life that I have failed the Lord. I have failed Him miserably because I have not been where I should be so that He could use me in the proper manner. And maybe today, as I told you, maybe the theme for this message is restoration. Maybe it's been a long, hard year. I'm going to be honest with you, 2015 has been a long year. Been one of the best years of my life, being able to begin my pastorate here at Mount Calvary. I have not enjoyed another year more than I have this one, being able to serve you all. But even sometimes in the good, there are bad things that come right around the corner. There are potholes, there are pitfalls, there are bad things that happen every single day. Maybe your china's a little beat up today. Maybe your vessel's a little cracked. Maybe it's a little chipped. Maybe we need a little restoration from the Lord. You know, you take these good old cars, and I love nothing more than going to a car show and looking at these old cars and these men that take this time, and oh, they'll fix them up. Oh, and they're 50-something years old sometimes, and oh, they look like they just rolled off a showroom floor. I look out this morning and I see a church full of people that look like a 57 Chevrolet that look like they just rolled off the assembly room floor, just as immaculate as they can be. I'm among some of the greatest people that there ever have been working for the Lord, and I'm assured of that. Oh, and I hope this morning as you look up here, you don't see just an old Cool Whip bowl that the Lord has, that I've set out before you this morning, because I want God to get the honor and glory. I pray every day that I'll move a little closer. I believe in sanctification. I truly believe that sanctification is something that every person that has been saved should get right in the middle of.
We should always continue to progress. We never need to digress. We need to continue to progress. Because I'm convinced that God wants us. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Sanctification is the act of becoming holy. Can't be holy if we never strive to do anything for the Lord. We can't be holy if we're not living for the best of our ability. We're not living for the Lord in the way that He would have for us to do. We cannot budge from this at all. I want to read these verses of Scripture in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah one more time. And then I'm going to try to close this morning. I hope and pray it's been good for you. Whatever has happened in 2015, as it winds up this week, and as we come back in here next Sunday to start 2016, and I hope and pray I see you all next Sunday, because I believe the best place we can be to start our year is in the Lord's house. I truly believe that. I believe as we start our year, we need to end it in the Lord's house and start it in the Lord's house, because I'm convinced that if we'll start our year in this way, if we'll start our year working and serving the Lord, oh, it's going to be a whole lot better. You know, my year's not been easy, and I've been to church. There's one Sunday that I wasn't in church this year, because I was on a cruise ship in the middle of the Bahamas. So I probably won't get to go to church that day. There's been one year that I haven't been here, been in church somewhere. And you know, it's not always been easy. I'm not going to tell you that going to church every Sunday, reading your Bible, praying every day is going to make things easier. I've told you before, and I'll say it again, nothing in between these leather bindings has ever said that living for God would be easy. But He said if we would take Him with us and He would go with us, that it would be a whole lot easier if we'd be with Him. I'm going to tell you, I've stepped out many times. You've heard me say it, and I'm going to try to not close that Bible on those scriptures. I've said many times that I've tried to step out in front of the Lord and do things on my own. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we fall flat on our face. Sometimes we get out a little ahead of Him and thought, look what I've done. I've got out ahead of you and ain't made a mistake yet. And smack dab right in the middle of the pole and knocked out. And the Lord says, see what you done there? If you'd stayed behind me, you'd have seen that there. But you know, whatever's happened in 2015, it's happened. Good, bad, and different, it's happened. Let's move on. Let's go forward. Let's utilize what God has given us. And if you're in need of a restoration today, oh, by all means, go to the Lord and work it out, because the Lord will help us. There's many times, and we speak of it many times in the Bible, about crucifying yourself daily. I believe we should ask for forgiveness every single day, because I would hate to see it after a week of me going and not asking for forgiveness. Well, I'd be on the altar from the time I got here until midnight that night, probably longer, trying to ask for forgiveness. I have hard enough time sometimes getting forgiveness for the things that I've done. So I just pray that the Lord will always be with me. I want to read these verses of Scripture one more time. I believe they're wonderful Scriptures. I believe they're something that we need to utilize in our life. The 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. O house of Israel. Israel had made a lot of mistakes, got themselves almost outside the grace of God a few times. They didn't. The Lord was always with them. Even in their hardest times, I believe that God was with them. Even in our times when we're away from God, God's with us. But He told them, He said, can I do what this potter has done in the marred potter? Can I not make you clean? Can I not make you anew? Can I not make everything all right? And I want to say this, I want to take this, and then I'll close. Talking about being made from dust. And you may have heard this story, maybe you haven't, I'm going to tell it anyways. There was a scientist and a man. A scientist and God, and they walked up one day, and the scientist looked at the man, at God, and he said, you know, I can do just everything that you can do. And God looked at the scientist, and he said, oh, really? Well, can you make a man? Can you make a person that is living and is breathing? He said, sure, Lord, we have all the technology to do what you've done now. We can make anything that you can make. And God looked at him and he said, will you just show me how you can make a man? And immediately the scientist began to bend down and pick up the dirt. And he looked at the man, God looked at the scientist and he said, but use your own dirt. God made it. He made us. And I'm going to tell you something. He made everything that you see before you for the good for him. We are just clay in the potter's hand. I love to sit down and I love to watch them because the way that they make it, oh, it's so precise and there's so much intricacy in it. They do it just perfect. They do it, and sometimes I'm thinking, if I'd done that, I'd have shot that stuff all over the house and made a big old mess. But you know, they know just exactly what they're doing. They know just exactly how to get it the way they want to, such as the Lord. He knows how to mold us and make us what we ought to be because He's still working on me. May God bless you with our prayer. I hope and pray you all have had a wonderful 2015. And I pray that 2016 is a better year for you. And I hope and pray that the years to come are just as wonderful as they can be. May God bless you with our prayer. That's our message this morning. While we stand and while we